Hey everyone, welcome back. Today we're uncorking, well, not literally, but diving deep into the world of African luxury wines. I recently came across this fascinating podcast called Vineyards of Prestige, and let me tell you, it changed my whole perspective on where top-tier wines come from.
Yeah, you know, it's funny how we tend to think of like France or Italy, maybe Chile when we think of great wine. But Africa is really carving out its own space in the luxury market, and it's not just a trend.
It's serious business. The Vineyards of Prestige episode actually mentioned that there are over 2,600 wine farms all across the continent. Seriously, 2,600. That blew my mind. I mean, what does that even mean, you know, in the context of the whole global wine scene?
That's a really great question, that number. I think it really shows how much things are changing in the world of wine. First off, it's a huge opportunity for anyone looking to invest in something new, something that's really on the rise. And for people like you and me who love exploring new wines, it basically means a whole new world of flavors and experiences opening up. It's like, I don't know, like discovering a hidden treasure chest, but for your taste buds.
Okay, so we're talking about more than just South Africa, right? Because I feel like that's what most people think of first.
Oh, absolutely. While South Africa is definitely a major player with over 500 wineries, we're also seeing some incredible things happening in places like Morocco, Kenya, Ethiopia. Each country brings something different to the table. It's amazing.
You know, I have to admit, I knew very little about South African wines beyond, like, Pinotage.
Pinotage, now there's a story.
Exactly. What is it about this grape that makes it so unique to South Africa? And why is it starting to win awards all over the world?
Well, Pinotage is really like a symbol of South Africa's dedication to doing things their own way in the wine world. They crossed Pinot Noir with Sinsalt, and the result, a really powerful red wine with these intense flavors, blackberry, plum, and there's often this smoky or earthy kind of note, bold flavors with a touch of, you know, wildness.
That actually sounds delicious. I'll have to try that. So we know South Africa has a really long history of winemaking. Some estates there go back centuries. The podcast episode highlighted 10 of kind of like the top estates. Which ones would you say really define what luxury means when it comes to African wine?
Well, if you're looking for like a taste of history mixed with luxury, Klein Constancia is definitely a place to explore. They make this legendary dessert wine called Vin de Constance, and it was a favorite of like royalty and intellectuals way back in the 18th century. I mean, imagine Napoleon, Jane Austen sipping on this very same wine.
Wow, a wine fit for emperors and literary giants. Amazing.
Yeah.
What about a more modern approach to luxury in South Africa?
For that, you got to check out Delair Graaf Estate. It's this incredible place where art, architecture, and wine all come together. Picture this. You're sipping award-winning Cabernet Sauvignon surrounded by world-class contemporary art and views of the Stellenbosch Mountains. Doesn't get much better.
It sounds absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
But okay, let's move beyond South Africa for a moment. What about Morocco, Kenya, Ethiopia? What are they doing that's so special? And, you know, if someone was thinking about investing in African wines, what makes these regions so interesting?
Each one, honestly, is a world of its own. Morocco, for example, has this blend of French influence and their own ancient winemaking traditions. They're known for some really robust reds. Plus, being so close to Europe makes it really easy to export Kenya.
Yeah.
Kenya's all about high-altitude vineyards, like way up in the Great Rift Valley. They have these rinds with this amazing vibrancy and acidity, really captivating.
High-altitude wines, that's something I've never even, like, thought about before. What about Ethiopia? What makes their wine so unique? What kind of investment potential do they have?
Ethiopia, now there's a real frontier in wine. They're really making the most of their, you know, their diverse landscapes and volcanic soils to grow grapes in places where, well, no one's ever really grown grapes before. And the wines, totally unique. They're catching the attention of people who really know their stuff.
So we've established that Africa's making some incredible wines. But who's actually drinking them? Where are these wines finding their like their audience, both in Africa and around the world?
Well, you've got a growing market for luxury wines right there on the continent. Countries like South Africa, Nigeria, Kenya, Ghana, they have a whole new class of consumers who are developing a taste for the finer things in life.
That makes a lot of sense. And then, of course, there's the international market.
Exactly. You've got the UK, Germany, the US. They're always looking for exciting new wines.
Okay, so it's like they're building up their local market while also reaching out to a global audience. It's brilliant. Now, what about the role of organizations like Luxury Media Africa, the Africa Luxury Network, Chamber of Commerce?
Yeah.
How do they help get these wines out there and connect the people making them with the people who want to drink them.
Oh, they're crucial. They're like the champions for African luxury brands, you know? They're connecting them with a global audience. And they're not just promoting the wine itself. They're promoting the whole experience of African luxury, the culture, the heritage, the landscapes.
So it's like they're creating a story, a narrative that goes beyond just the wine itself.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like that's really working. The Vineyards of Prestige episode mentioned that even China and emerging markets in the Middle East and Asia are developing a taste for African wines.
Yeah, absolutely. There's something about the novelty of it, the fact that it's something new and different. But the quality is there, too. It's undeniable. And people are looking for something with a story, you know, something authentic, something with heritage, something that's made with real craftsmanship. Mm-hmm. African wines offer all of that.
It seems like they've really hit that sweet spot, appealing to both those, you know, well-established luxury markets and the new ones that are just emerging. Now, there were a couple more organizations mentioned that I found really interesting, Luxury Exclusives and Wine and Connect. What can you tell us about them?
These organizations are doing amazing things. Luxury Exclusives, they curate these really special wine tasting experiences, really giving people the chance to dive deep into the world of African luxury wines.
Oh, wow. I'd love to attend one of those. What about Wine and Connect?
They're all about building relationships and getting people talking in the industry. Investors, sommeliers, wine experts, and of course the winemakers themselves. Wine and Connect, they create a space for everyone to share knowledge, build connections, and promote African wines on a global stage.
It's not just about selling the wine. It's about building a whole community around it, isn't it?
It really is. And that sense of community, that shared passion, it's a big part of what makes African luxury wine so special. It's a movement, it's gaining momentum, it's really exciting.
It is. It's a really exciting time for African wine. And it makes you think, right, about that question of investing in an African winery. We've talked about what makes each region so special. So if you were going to take the plunge, where do you think you'd be most drawn to?
Ooh, that's a tough one. They all have their appeal. But I think for me, I'd be really interested in exploring Morocco. I love that combination of ancient history and the French influence. Plus, I tend to gravitate toward those bigger, bolder reds. What makes Morocco a good choice from like an investment point of view? You're right on the money with the historical aspect and the style of wines they make. Morocco, their winemaking, it goes all the way back to the Roman era, centuries of experience. That's a deep understanding of the land, you know, the terroir. And from a purely practical standpoint, Morocco's proximity to Europe makes exporting a lot simpler.
That makes a lot of sense. So it's not just about like romantic notions of winemaking history. You have to consider the business side of things too. Now, you mentioned earlier that Kenya is known for those high altitude vineyards. I actually tried a Kenyan Sauvignon Blanc recently, and I was surprised by how that altitude affected the acidity. It had this amazing vibrancy that I've never really tasted in the Sauvignon Blanc before. What's the investment potential like in Kenya?
Ah, you see, you're starting to get it. That's the beauty of wine, all those subtle differences that the terroir brings out. Kenya, with those high-altitude vineyards, they're really creating something special. Bright acidity, concentrated flavors, a freshness you don't find everywhere. And for investors, well, Kenya's tourism industry is booming, so there's a built-in market right there. Plus, they're not afraid to experiment. They're blending international grape varietals with their own indigenous ones, creating wines you won't find anywhere else.
So they're catering to the tourists, but also appealing to those, you know, more adventurous wine drinkers who are always on the hunt for something new. Sounds like a good strategy.
Yeah.
Okay, we've talked about Morocco, Kenya, but Ethiopia seems like the real wild card here. What would you say to someone who is considering Ethiopia as an investment opportunity?
Ethiopia, well, they're really charting their own course. It's like uncharted territory on the African wine map. They're taking advantage of those unique landscapes, the volcanic soils, to create wines that are unlike anything else out there. For an investor who's looking for, I don't know, maybe a bit of a gamble, but a potential for huge growth, Ethiopia is fascinating. It's a chance to be part of something from the ground up, a wine region that's just starting to get noticed.
It's almost like going back in time to when Napa Valley was just starting out. That feeling of discovering something new and being part of it from the beginning.
Exactly. And don't forget about the cultural richness Ethiopia has to offer. The history, the landscapes, the culture. Investing in Ethiopian wine, it's about more than just the wine itself. It's about being part of something bigger.
I'm starting to see why you're so intrigued by Ethiopia. It's this amazing mix of innovation and history and untapped potential. So who are the people drinking these amazing African wines? We talked about a growing domestic market, especially in countries like South Africa, Nigeria, Kenya. What's driving that growth?
It's simple. You have a rising middle class in many African countries, and with that comes a growing appreciation for luxury goods, for experiences, and what says, I've made it, more than a bottle of beautiful, locally produced wine.
It's like a celebration of their own success.
Mm-hmm.
We're here, we've arrived, and we're going to enjoy the best.
Exactly. But it's also about supporting local businesses, you know, celebrating African craftsmanship. It's a matter of pride.
And that pride seems to be extending beyond the continent itself. The Vineyards of Prestige episode mentioned that African wines are becoming increasingly popular in those more established markets like the UK, Germany, the US. Why is that happening?
Well, there's this dose for something new, for wines from places people haven't really explored before. People are tired of the same old, they want something with a story behind it. African wines, they offer that. A sense of adventure, a taste of a different culture.
It's like taking a sip and being transported to those sun-drenched vineyards in South Africa or those high-altitude slopes of Kenya.
That's it. But beyond the novelty factor, the quality speaks for itself. African wines are starting to be recognized for their quality, that they can stand up to the best in the world.
So it's a combination of things, the excitement of trying something new, the appeal of a different culture, and just the quality of the wines themselves. It's a winning formula.
Absolutely. And don't forget the work those organizations are doing. Luxury Media Africa, the Africa Luxury Network Chamber of Commerce, they're making sure the world knows about these wines.
They're like, hey, world, look what Africa has to offer. These wines are amazing, and they deserve a place at your table.
And the world is listening. You know, we talked earlier about sustainability and community development. How important is that to the success of African luxury wines?
It's incredibly important. Today's consumer, they're savvy. They care about where their products come from, how they're made. Knowing that a winery is environmentally friendly, that they're giving back to their communities, it adds to the whole experience of enjoying that bottle of wine.
Yeah, you're right. People want to feel good about their purchases. They want to know that their money is supporting something positive. And African wineries are really setting the standard here.
It's that idea of, like, conscious luxury, isn't it?
Exactly. And it's something that resonates with people all over the world. You mentioned earlier that you were really drawn to Ethiopia if you were going to invest. Why is that? What are some of the challenges you see there?
I love that Ethiopia represents, like, the cutting edge of the African wine industry. They're pushing boundaries, experimenting. The wines they're producing are unique. And that pioneering spirit is exciting. Plus, the history, the culture of Ethiopia, it's captivating. There's something so appealing about discovering a whole new world of wine.
Right. Of course, investing in any new wine region comes with its own challenges. With Ethiopia, there are infrastructure issues to think about, the need to train local workers, and building those relationships with the right people in the industry takes time.
So it's a long game. It takes patience and a lot of understanding.
It does. But the potential rewards are huge. Imagine being part of something that's not just shaping the future of African wine, but also contributing to the growth of a whole country.
It goes beyond just profit. It's about making a real difference, leaving a legacy. You know, we talked about Morocco earlier. I'd love to hear more about your vision for investing there. What are some of the opportunities you see?
Well, you were talking about those beautiful, full-bodied reds and that long history. Tell me more about what drew you to Morocco.
Well, as I said, I'm drawn to the history, that blend of French and African influence.
Mm-hmm.
Sipping a glass of Moroccan wine, it's like tasting history. And their winemaking traditions, they go back centuries.
Yeah.
Even the Romans were drinking Moroccan wine.
It's an amazing story. And you mentioned wine tourism. Tell me about that.
Morocco's such a beautiful country.
Yeah.
The Atlas Mountains, the Sahara Desert, the vineyards. I think there's a real opportunity to create these amazing wine tourism experiences. You know, vineyard tours, tastings, pairing the wines with delicious Moroccan food.
That's a fantastic idea. People are looking for those immersive, authentic experiences.
Exactly. Showcasing Morocco's culture and history, its natural beauty, all through the lens of wine.
And Morocco is already a popular destination. Wine tourism would just add another dimension to that.
It's a way to bring more people to Morocco, give them a unique experience, and at the same time, help the Moroccan wine industry grow.
It shows how passion and purpose, they can really come together. And that's what I love about the African wine industry. It's not just about making and selling wine. It's about so much more. Sharing stories, celebrating a culture, being part of something that's bigger than yourself.
The passion these winemakers have, it's contagious.
It really is. Speaking of passion, let's talk a little more about Kenya. You mentioned their high-altitude vineyards, how those unique conditions affect the wines. If you were going to invest in Kenya, what would you focus on?
Well, Kenya's had a lot of success blending those international grape varietals with their own indigenous grapes. I think there's a real opportunity to create something unique, a blend that really captures the essence of Kenyan winemaking.
Like a signature blend. That's a great idea. A fusion of tradition and innovation. What kind of story do you think that blend would tell?
I think it would be a wine that reflects the energy and diversity of Kenya. Something bold and adventurous, but at the same time balanced and harmonious. Kind of like the Kenyan landscape itself.
I love that. It's not just about the wine, it's about the whole experience. It's an expression of Kenya.
And I think that's what people are looking for these days. They want more than just a good bottle of wine. They want an experience, a connection, a story.
You're absolutely right. And that's what makes African wines so special. They offer something different, something real, something that speaks to your soul.
Wow, what a journey this has been, exploring the world of African luxury wines. It's been so much more than just learning about, grapes and winemaking. We've talked about history and culture and investment and the amazing people who are really driving this whole industry forward.
It just goes to show a glass of wine, it's more than just a drink. It's a reflection of the land, the people, all those traditions.
And speaking of traditions, we talked about how so many African wineries are committed to sustainability, to giving back to their communities. Why is that so important to their success?
It's huge. Today's luxury consumer, they're looking for more than just a product. They want to know that the brands they support, that they're doing good things. They care about the environment. They care about social responsibility.
So it's about knowing that, that you're indulging in something special, but also that you're contributing to something positive.
Exactly. And African wineries, they're really leading the way. Eco-friendly practices, empowering their communities, preserving their heritage. It's inspiring.
It's a beautiful thing. This whole deep dive has really been eye-opening for me. African luxury wines, it's not just a trend, it's a movement. And it's changing the world of wine as we know it.
And it feels like we're just at the beginning. As more people discover these wines, the quality, the stories, the demand is just going to keep growing.
So for our listeners who are now, totally fascinated by all of this, what's the next step? How can they explore this world of African wines for themselves?
Get out there and try them. Look for them in your local wine shops, online. See if there are any tastings or events in your area. And check out organizations like Wine and Connect. They're a great resource.
It's an invitation to go on an adventure, explore those uncharted territories of taste, experience the magic of African luxury wines.
And when you take that first sip, remember everything we've talked about, the stories, the passion, the history, the culture.
Cheers to that,
Oh,
to
no.
new discoveries, to the joy of sharing a glass of wine with a story behind it.